You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following message was presented by Dr. Dale Meyer on The Lutheran Hour. Its title, Lessons Caught, Not Taught. Now here is Dr. Meyer.
Some of life's most important lessons are caught, not taught. It's not teachers who encourage a quarter of American children to fear for their safety in school. Teachers and the school systems are obviously not encouraging suicide. Yet 59% of students know someone who has tried to take their life, and 26% know someone who has succeeded. It's not in the classroom that 26% of teens are struck by a parent. These destructive and sinful behaviors are not taught by the educational establishment. These terrible lessons are caught from peers and from parents. The statistics I've shared were reported in USA Today last month, and were gathered by pollster George Gallup Jr. If destructive and sinful behaviors are learned from peers and parents, it's also true that the good lessons of life, the lessons that can make children well-adjusted and happy, the lessons that spiritual people want to tell a new generation, these also can be caught from the conduct of others. In fact, they have to be informally caught as well as officially taught. Last week I mentioned Chicken Soup for the Soul. It contains this story by Patricia Fripp. It was a sunny Sunday afternoon in Oklahoma City. Bobby Lewis was taking his two little boys to play miniature golf. He walked up to the fellow at the ticket counter and said, "How much is it to get in?" The young man replied, "$3 for you and $3 for any kid who is older than six. We let them in free if they are six or younger." "How old are they?" Bobby replied, "3 and 7, so I guess I owe you $6. The man at the ticket counter said, "You could have saved yourself $3. You could have told me that the older one was 6. I wouldn't have known the difference." Bobby replied, "Yes, that may be true, but the kids would have known the difference." Caught, not taught. How many times do you and I profess one thing on Sundays and then do the opposite during the week? That's a hypocrisy that the children catch. Young people learn from adults, especially from parents, the limits of acceptable and unacceptable behavior. Our adult words and our adult actions define the boundaries for children. We are role models, and we should be role models of consistent Christian character. That constancy of Christian character flows from the love of God. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 say, "Imitate God, since you are the children He loves. Live in love, as Christ also loved us. He gave His life for us as an offering and sacrifice, a soothing aroma to God." Parents, God loves you. There are times when no one else seems to love you. The children don't seem to appreciate all that you do for them. You change the diapers. You prepare the meals. You take their phone messages. You taxi them here, there, and everywhere. Or you pay the car insurance so that they can drive and you can worry. The people at work often don't show you love. Your desk is piled high. You've got deadlines that are stressing you out, and there are rumors of layoffs. The taxes and the bills make you fret. The rudeness of so many people hurts you. There are times when no one seems to love you. Why go on living, you wonder? Parents, adults, children, every single one of you listeners, God does love you. His love for you is constant, not changing from day to day. Each morning He wakes you to new life. Every day has its problems, of course, but God is quietly present to hear your prayers and to give you help and hope. Look out the window. See the grass, the trees, the birds, the sky, the clouds. What a beautiful world your Heavenly Father has provided for you. Think of the last good meal you've had. Think of the last demonstration of love you've received. It wasn't that long ago, was it? Look at the lines on your face. Not the lines that come from worry, but the lines that have come from laughter through the years. Acknowledging that, we also have to admit that when it rains in our lives, it seems to pour. When we're feeling unloved, we forget to look at creation around us, and we forget to recall the blessings of the years. It's so easy to feel sorry for ourselves and to feel unloved. But God does love you. His love for you is constant, as dependable as morning and evening. To repeat the Bible verse again, imitate God, since you are the children He loves. God's love flows dependably to us and should flow from us to others. We receive His love so that we might share His love with children, with other adults, indeed with all people. A second volume of Chicken Soup for the Soul has a story from Dan Clark about going to the circus. This is such a wonderful story that I want to review it with you. Once when I was a teenager, my father and I were standing in line to buy tickets for the circus. Finally, there was only one family between us and the ticket counter. The family made a big impression on me. There were 8 children, all probably under the age of 12. You could tell they didn't have a lot of money. Their clothes were not expensive, but they were clean. The children were well behaved, all of them standing in line, 2 by 2 behind their parents, holding hands. They were excitedly jabbering about the clowns, elephants, and other acts they would see that night. One could sense that they had never been to the circus before. It promised to be the highlight of their young lives. The father and mother were at the head of the pack, standing proud as could be. The mother was holding her husband's hand, looking up at him as if to say, "You are my knight in shining armor." He was smiling and basking in pride, looking at her as if to reply, "You got that right." The ticket lady asked the father how many tickets he wanted. 8 children's tickets and 2 adult tickets. The ticket lady quoted the price. The man's wife let go of his hand. Her head dropped. The man's lip began to quiver. He didn't have enough money. How was he supposed to turn and tell his 8 kids that he didn't have enough money to take them to the circus? Seeing what was going on, my dad put his hand into his pocket, pulled out a $20 bill, and dropped it on the ground. We were not wealthy in any sense of the word. My father reached down, picked up the bill, tapped the man on the shoulder and said, "Excuse me, sir, I think this fell out of your pocket." The man knew what was going on. He wasn't begging for a handout, but certainly appreciated the help in a desperate, heartbreaking, embarrassing situation. He looked straight into my dad's eyes, took my dad's hand in both of his, squeezed tightly onto the $20 bill, and with his lip quivering and a tear streaming down his cheek, he replied, "Thank you, sir. Thank you." My father and I went back to our car and drove home. We didn't go to the circus that night, but we didn't go without. The lesson Dan Clark learned that day about love was caught, not taught. For Christians, the love that we constantly receive from God and the love that we should demonstrate consistently with our character is the sacrificial love that God has freely given us in His Son, our Savior Christ. Live in love as Christ also loved us, Ephesians 5 encourages. Christ gave His life for us as an offering and sacrifice, a soothing aroma to God. The love of God that we receive in our Savior is a love that is marked by sacrifice. The love that should be evident in our characters is not like a vacuum cleaner, sucking up all it can for itself. That selfish love is all too well known in our world, too common even in our own hearts. Self-seeking love lays out the wrong boundaries for the children who are watching us. No, God's love seeks not its own. It gives of itself to others, just as Jesus Christ gave of himself. He willingly sacrificed himself on the cross for you and for me. He let his blood be shed. He suffered the extreme agonies of crucifixion so that he could pay the price to God the Father for your sins and mine. The resurrection of Jesus on Easter shows that the sacrifice for sin was accepted by God. It was, as the Bible says, a soothing aroma to God. Soothing because it reconciled the holy God to men, women, and children. Men, women, and children who are indeed sinful, but who through faith in the sacrifice of Christ have their sins forgiven. Earlier I mentioned the beauties of nature, of human love, and the pleasant memories of the past. It's by the death and resurrection of our Savior that these become quiet preachers of God's love. That God really loves parents and children, uncles and aunts and all of us, is known because He sacrificed His Son to save us. Jesus loves us so much that He willingly went to the cross for us. Now He lives, and by His Holy Spirit we are taught and we catch the lesson of His love. We catch God's love in the words of the gospel. St. Paul says in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the good news. It is God's power to save everyone who believes." And those words are powerful. Hebrews 4:12 says, "God's word is living and active. It is sharper than any two-edged sword and cuts as deep as the place where soul and spirit meet." And how do we catch this word? Faith comes from hearing the message, promises Romans 10:17. Consistent Christian character flows from hearing and believing the good news of the sacrificial love of God in Jesus Christ for us sinners. The more you attend worship, the more you hear gospel-dominated sermons in church, the more you look for the love of God by reading the Bible, the more you make devotion a part of your daily routine, so much the more you'll be taught and catch the love of God. And the more it fills your life, the more it will flow over to others. Today we're thinking of our youth. They need all the love of God in Christ that you can share. They need to catch God's love as they watch and listen to you. Today's young people have so much that can worry them. Jennifer Tyus, a 16-year-old from Decatur, Illinois, told USA Today, "It has gotten to the point that at times I'm afraid to walk down the hallway in school for fear somebody will pull out a gun. You overhear a lot of stuff. I'm going to get even. I'm going to shoot back." Jennifer knows that too many of her peers are catching the wrong messages. Are you demonstrating for her and others the consistent character of a Christian? Sandy Marks, a 15-year-old from Lutz, Florida, said in the same newspaper article that she is quite worried, watching all my friends who I thought were just like me, drug-free, becoming drug users, starting to smoke, drink, go partying, and get wasted. "They tell me, you say you won't do it now, but it's hard to keep that up. Even though I say, no, 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 I won't." Sandy, you hang in there and you keep saying no. God help more of us, adults and young people alike, to strive to demonstrate consistent Christian character so that more people can catch the love of God and more people will reject the destructive behaviors of sin. Until next week, imitate God. Since you are the children He loves, live in love as Christ also loved us. He gave His life for us. Amen.
Thanks for listening. We pray you've been blessed by hearing this message. This has been a presentation of Lutheran Hour Ministries.